hit me. Out of love, I'm going to let you sit down. Now, thank you so much for being here this morning. You know, that certainly is a great old gospel hymn, isn't it? Love lifted me. You know, it lifts us, doesn't it, from our sin. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. You know, every one of us ought to be thankful this morning for the love of God. And that's what that song is really all about, isn't it? It's telling us that love is that very thing that lifts us to a greater level with our Father who is in heaven. You know, we all want to be loved. We want to love. And that's a wonderful thing. That's an important thing. It is something that Christ taught about. By the way, this coming Thursday is Valentine's Day. It would be well worth your time to begin thinking about getting your wife or your husband a Valentine card, maybe a box of candy, flowers, whatever. Valentine's that time of year when we all think about love. Several years ago, I had an English teacher in high school, and she was well known for always being fair, but she was always one who graded hard on tests. She did. One day, I had turned in actually a paper. It was a theme paper, and she gave me a B minus. Well, I didn't like that. And in hopes of bettering my grade, in the spirit of Valentine's Day, and it was going to be that week, I actually sent her an extravagant heart-shaped box of chocolates with a pre-printed inscription, "Be mine." The following day, I received a return Valentine from the teacher. It read, "Thank you, but it's still be minus." It didn't work. It didn't work. But I know that love works. I know that love is so important. And this Thursday, there will be many, many cards that are sold and opened by people in the spirit of love. You know, when Jesus was asked a question one time about the greatest commandment of all time, listen to what he said. "It is to love the Lord your God," and the one that asked this question only asked about the greatest commandment. But he got more than what he asked for. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the way God is, isn't he? He always gives us more than what we ask. But Jesus said to the young man that we are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And then he moves on to something else. He says the second command is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 39. Now, obviously, Christ placed a tremendous premium on the word love. I like the Bible because it talks so much about this particular thing. And in the 13th chapter of the book of John, in verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You must also love one another." You know, where our world is filled with hatred. But Jesus says people will identify those who are children of God by this one word. Isn't that what he says? He does. He says the world will know that you are Christians by your love one for another. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, Paul says that, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity," he says, "for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You don't serve one another out of constraint. You don't serve one another because you just simply feel it's the thing to do. It's like David was saying about singing and the other acts of worship. You don't just go through it mechanically, but you do it out of love. You do it out of the right spirit. And Paul says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in this statement, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself." This last week, I had the opportunity, and I was sharing this with our Bible class this morning. This last week, I had an opportunity to study with a young woman and her husband. She drove 100 miles to get here. She was baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. She had recently seen our television program, Give Me the Bible, as we discuss that all-important subject of baptism. And she made the statement to me, she said, "You know, I'm just not sure that when I was baptized for the right reason." She said, "I went through it mechanically. I thought I was doing the right thing. I was immersed all right, but my heart was not motivated in the right way. I was not doing it because I loved God. I was doing it to please others in the family." And you know what? People can do things in the wrong way, even when they may be doing it rightly in the sense that she went through immersion. The Bible says the same thing about the Lord's Supper. David said, you know, if we do not discern the Lord's body while we're partaking the Lord's Supper, then we have sinned grievously and we eat and we drink damnation to our own soul. So it's so important that what we do in love. Love, any way you color it, is so important, isn't it? Do you know, without love, you are nothing. Paul said that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, by the way. He said, "I could give my body to be burned." He said, "I could bestow all of my goods to feed the poor and the disenfranchised in life." But he says, you know, if I don't have love, this one thing, there is no value to whatever I might do. And people say it with words all the time. They say, "I love you, I love you." Well, that's one thing. But the real issue is, do you show your love? Do you show love to one another? And do you show love to God? I told you the Bible has a lot to say about it. In 1 John 4, verse 16 to 21, John writes, "And we have known, and we have believed the love that God hath to us, for God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." If we don't dwell in love, we don't dwell in God. And I'm going to tell you something, if God's love does not dwell in your heart, God does not dwell in you either. "For herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in that day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love." We love him because he first loved us. And if a man says, "I love God," and you hate your brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love his God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Love can change your life. And I hope you're ready this morning for change, because I want to talk to you this morning about five reasons love can change your life. It can. And as David said a moment ago also, and I appreciate your good words, David, you know what? You can walk out of here this morning a changed person by the love of Almighty God. Well, let's talk about those five things briefly. Number one, love brings us into a deeper relationship with God. There are many things that destroy the relationship that we have with God. It is true. There was a man by the name of Mike who walked into the post office just before Valentine's Day. He couldn't help noticing a middle-aged, balding man standing in the corner, sticking love stamps on bright pink envelopes with hearts all over them. Get that picture. Then the man got out a bottle of cologne from his pocket, perfume, and started spraying scents all over those envelopes. By now, Mike's curiosity had got the best of him. So he walked over and he asked the man why he was sending out all of those cards. And the man replied, he said, "I'm sending out over 500 Valentine cards signed Guess Who?" And Mike said, "But why?" And he says, "Well, I'm a divorce lawyer." Well, that's your way to get one, isn't it? We have to be people that radiate the love of God and people that draw close to God. And I can't think of anyone who draws closer to God than the person who loves. For James 4 and 8 says, "Draw near unto God, and he will draw nigh or near unto you." The surest way to draw close to God, listen, is to love God and to love one another. Let me ask you a question this morning. You know, at the beginning of the year, I talked to you a little bit about goals and aspirations and things that drive you and motivate you to a better life. Love is something that does that. But just what is your goal in life? A lot of people have goals. All these things, in reality, are the goals of most people. Personal growth, health and fit. I mean, we could go on. But you know what? God ought to be our number one goal. Getting close to God. How close are you to God this morning? What would it really take to get you closer to God? You may be going through the mechanics again. You may be reading your Bible every day. You may be praying every day. You may be coming to worship at every service. But you know what? If it is void of love, it is all meaningless. It is. Being near to God feels good. It feels good because it produces so many great and wonderful traits. It produces the peace of God that we all want and Jesus knew about, John 14:27. It is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It is confidence in our Father who is in heaven. And we all want to be happy. We all want to be joyful, don't we? Well, it produces that. And it will increase also your emotional stability. We all want to be emotionally stable, don't we? We live in a world today that is characterized by emotional instability because we are not focused on the right thing. It gives you the ability to actually ascertain, if you will, your aspirations. It does every day. But secondly, not only drawing near unto God is one thing that is accomplished through our love for God and one another, but love enables us to be a conqueror. Nobody wants to be a victim. We all want to be victors, don't we? We all want to be able to achieve. We all want to go to that next level of relationship with each other. We want to look back and say, "Oh, I was not a victim, but I became victorious over the things of this world," according to verse 18. It does. So we have to be a victor, if you will, over fear. Isn't that what John writes when he says that true love casteth out all fear? He goes on to say in that treatise there that we cannot live in fear all of the time or constant apprehension about what might happen in our life. We have to move from fear over to being fearless. And I want you to get the picture. This is the man, the unhappy man is the man who lives in fear. But the happy man is the one who is moved by the grace of God and the love of God and the love that he has for God to a happy, fearless person. For 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. No fear in love. Listen to it again. But perfect love cast out all fear. You see, John, one of the greatest apostles that ever lived, says, for those of us who love, there's no need to be afraid. There's no fear of death. That doesn't terrorize us. I'm not worried about dying. I mean, if I had to die in the next minute and I pass out, you know, hey, get me somewhere and make sure they do a good job. But the fear of death is something that often terrorizes a lot of folks. And the fear of the unknown. Why? What is the connection? Well, the connection with happiness and peace and joy and those things we were talking about a moment ago is based upon the love connection. You see, love really connects us to God, doesn't it? It does. Remember the passage? He that dwelleth in God, he that's connected to God, God is connected to him. He dwells in us. We must have a love connection between God and between man as well. And it must be a lasting love connection. God doesn't want us to be separated by hatred. He doesn't want us to be separated by frustrations, by fear, by anxiety, by hateful things. But he wants us to stay connected unto him by real love. In John 3:16, one of the passages that talk about the love of God more profoundly, and one that just about everybody could quote, is this one. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but has eternal life. Too oftentimes we quote it, but we don't believe it. And too oftentimes we quote it, but we don't live it. We must understand that loving is that spiritual thing. And it, you know, sometimes it's hard to love certain people. I understand that. There are some people that try your patience, but you have to love them anyway. And of course, we know that there are different phases of love. That doesn't mean it has to be an affectionate love all the time, but we love one another from a distance. There's a brotherly love. The more one loves, the more one is following the Spirit of God. And the more that we follow the Spirit of God, the more one is aware of and has confidence in the kingdom of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Love. Love conquers all fear. It does. We have to get rid of it. Love opens one's eyes to see the spiritual world. Love opens our heart to the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And love opens one's hope to the reality of heaven. And really, when you think about it, the life that we have here on earth is a temporary life. It is. And it opens our heart to reality. It does. And people who do not have fear in their hearts because they listen, are the children of God. Because God has filled their hearts with his love. Now, there's another thought that's so important here. And I told you this lesson's titled, Love, five ways that love can change your life. Here's another one. Because real love produces gratitude. Sometimes we are so unthoughtful and unthankful of one another, aren't we? Have you ever noticed that? Some men will not buy their wives Valentine's this Thursday. And some wives will not buy their husbands Valentines. Simply because maybe they're ungrateful. They do not love. They don't appreciate their mate. It's like a story I heard about a woman one time who was actually standing in front of the mirror telling her husband, quote, and she says, "I can't believe this. I'm so out of shape. I'm so wrinkled. My hair is great, and I'm no longer pretty." She looks at her husband and says, "Honey, I need a romantic compliment." Her husband replied, "Oh, baby, it's okay. Your eyesight is incredible." We don't like to admit it in life, but sometimes we are not very thoughtful, nor are we very thankful. But we should love because He loved us. You know, our heart ought to beat with love every day. It's the motivation that keeps us going, isn't it? It should be every day. And that love should prompt us to be grateful. It should prompt us to be able to say to people around us, for the simple things of life, thank you. Thank you. Sometimes we say it, but do we really mean it? Do we really mean it? It's so flippant. Those words come so easy, don't they? But doesn't the Bible teach in Psalms 100 and verse 4, enter into His gates with gratitude, thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. And listen to it. Told you before, we have to bless God and bless His name. You want God to bless you with love? Bless God with your love. "I will praise you as long as I live," David quoted in the book of Psalm 63 and verse 4. And I'm going to tell you something. It is a 24/7 job. It is. You never stop. Be grateful. Be grateful. In everything, give thanks, he says. Not for everything, but in every dilemma and in every situation you find yourself in life, give thanks unto God because He is controlling that situation. Listen, God is working behind the curtain sometimes and we never see what He is doing. We don't. We should be people that truly inhale love and exhale gratitude. For if you are really a people of love, gratitude will come. It must come. But the love of Jesus produces a new kind of love. That's why He said, "A new commandment I give unto you." Oh, people loved God. They loved Him more intellectually than they did affectionately and emotionally. And this is the love of God that produces the beautiful spiritual fruit of gratitude. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21. And because He first loved us, we are filled with praise and thanksgiving, and we have that desire to honor Him and do good things in His name. So this week, I hope you'll take time as a child of God to say thank you to someone who does something for you. Don't be an ingrate. One of the saddest statements ever found in the Bible is noted in the book of Romans chapter 1, where Paul says, "Neither were they thankful, and they worshiped the creature more than the Creator who is blessed above all men." You know what? People love a lot of things in the world. They love their house. They love their car. They love all kinds of inanimate objects. And animate objects also. But do we really love God? We should love Him more. More than anything else in this life. But number four. You want to change your life? Love will give you direction in life. Hatred doesn't give you direction. Resentment doesn't give you direction. It doesn't. It's the love of God that gives you direction, verse 20 and 21. It does. For if a man says, I love God, and hates his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Now get that picture. We have a lot of hatred in our world. And if people hate each other, how can you say, you know, I love God up there. I've never seen God. I don't really know what God's doing up there, but I love God, but I hate this brother over here. You cannot do it. Not and please God. You got to get rid of it. Animosity has no place in the kingdom of God. We ought to let love guide our life. I'd rather be guided by my love for God and His love for me than guided by hatred. And even guided by the words of other people. Listen to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Jesus said it this way, for out of the heart doth the mouth speak. And when people say, well, I said that, but I didn't really mean that, why did you say it? It is hateful words. When people say hatred things, you can take it for, listen, you can know assuredly that it's coming from right down in their heart. Solomon even said, for out of the heart doth the mouth speaketh. And out of the heart flow the issues of life. And if my heart is filled with love, it is no effort. No, it's not work to love my brother or my sister in Christ. It is simply an extension, really, of my spiritual personality. That doesn't mean I have to go around saying I love you all the time, or I love you all the time, or like I said, or being affectionate all the time. It's just simply a matter of letting it be seen in the way that you live. For 1 John 3 and verse 11 also says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning. Now listen to this. You heard it from the beginning. You heard it in the Old Testament, but you heard it in the New Testament also with the beginning of Jesus' ministry, didn't you? That we should love one another. We should love as Jesus loved. And as I said, He gave us this new commandment. And I have learned in life, folks, that what goes around will come back around. It does. You do bad, it will come back, and sometimes it comes back 10 times worse. But do good, and sometimes it comes back 100-fold. There is a principle in the book of Galatians chapter 6 where the Apostle Paul says, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you will reap what you sow in life. When people do not feel good about themselves, people seem to go from one conflict to another. You mark it down. It's true. The reason people go from one conflict to the next conflict to the next conflict to the next conflict generally is because people don't feel good about themselves. And they want to make everybody else miserable around them. They need to examine their own hearts before finding fault, whether it's in your family, with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your mother, with your father. It's so important that we ask God to lead us, to guide us, direct us, and walk with us. Jesus, there's no accident here when John says that we are to walk in love. He didn't say talk in love, but he says walk in love, dear children. But last of all, love reflects God's attitude toward me. It does. And I know one thing. I know we're already past the 11:30 hour. I've only been going almost 20 minutes. I could have had 8 points, but out of love, I gave you 5. Love reflects God's attitude toward me. It does. Verse 19. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:15 says. And in the end, God will not measure how smart we are or how intellectually bright you have become or how well you were able to cope with the world. He will be looking for those who loved His Son, Jesus, and showed their love by serving other people in His name, Matthew chapter 24. And at the evening of life, we shall be judged by our love. If you don't believe that, go to the 25th chapter and read verse 31 through 46. You will find that what I'm telling you is true. And you will also find that what I'm telling you even now. This morning a gentleman called from Mansfield, Louisiana, had watched the television program Give Me the Bible, I Want to Be a Christian. We put him in contact with the people over in Louisiana this morning. I've come to an understanding of what it really means to be a child of God. I want the DVD on What Must I Do to Be Saved. One of my band members in the Dogwood Jamboree called me yesterday, our keyboard player, Trey Pope, told me that he'd been watching our television program, Give Me the Bible, wants to know more about God. Just yesterday. You know what? I just believe there are people all over this world that are hungering for the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is a gospel of love. Not a gospel of hatred and animosity, but it's a gospel that offers hope through our belief in the risen Christ. Our hope because we're willing to change through repentance our life and to confess the name of Christ and then to be lowered in water baptism, to be raised, cleansed by the blood of Christ, and to be able to walk with God in love. And that means staying faithful unto Him. And for those of us who are Christians, let me remind you one more time what Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? Jesus leaves the answer up to you. He knows the answer. Rhetorically speaking, He asked this question. What will happen to those that don't obey the gospel? If judgment really begins at the house of God, the church of the living God, if it begins with us, what will be the end result of those that do not become children of God? Isn't it time to reach out to God with love and say, God, fill me with Your love? A little girl who'd been attending worship services for a long time was approached by another little friend. They were both about 8 years old. And the little girl that had been going to worship was asked by her friend, why do you go to worship? And she said, you know, when I walk into the building, it's like walking into the heart of God. Do you realize, and I mean this sincerely, every time I walk into this building on the Lord's Day among the saints of Almighty God, it is like walking into the heart of God. I hope that you will let today be the day you give up who you have been for whom you can become. And that, my friend, is how love changes your life. Let it change yours this morning while we stand and while we sing.